It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy till day's end. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. It's the 16th of the month. Happy New Week. That's right. This is the first day of the week, my brothers and sisters. The seventh day of the week was yesterday, the Sabbath day. We welcome you, and we wish you God's richest blessings. At this time, we will have an opening prayer together. Dear Father, bless us as we study the Word. We thank you very much for its prophecies, its doctrines, its stories, for all our character building. It is the Word of God. We pray that you will bless us now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Okay, brothers and sisters, it's time for our opening song, and that is, It's About Time for the Coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about time.
Amen, amen, amen. All right, my brothers and sisters, this is Worship and Wellness. We have several chapters to cover this morning. We are going to study the rest of the story of Joseph, where he reveals himself to his brothers. At this time, let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you very much for this day. We pray for the Holy Spirit to be with us, and we thank you for your love. I ask that you will bless us now, that your Holy Spirit will fill us and teach us in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. We're starting in Genesis chapter 42. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, and if I said Jacob reveals himself, I meant to say Joseph, okay? Joseph reveals himself to his brothers. Now when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, why do you look upon one another? And he said, behold, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. Get ye down thither and buy for us from thence, that we may live and not die. And Joseph's 10 brethren went down to buy corn in Egypt. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. Now I want you all to understand how different things are today. These were grown men. They had children. They had sons and daughters. In today's society, very few young men would obey their aged parent. He had Benjamin at his older age, and so the bottom line is they obeyed their father. Even the older ones obeyed their father. These were men. Okay, Joseph was 30. When he went into Egypt, and he was the youngest before Benjamin came along. So these guys are 30 plus, 40 plus years old, and they're obeying their father. So there's a balance. I mean, the father wasn't all in their personal life and business and telling them what to cook for breakfast and all of that kind of thing. But when it came to their entire establishment, they still had respect for their father. And that just shows how different things were back then, and it was more biblical, and that respect for our elders, for our parents, when they are godly, is a biblical principle. But Benjamin, Joseph's brother, Jacob, sent not with his brethren, for he said, lest peradventure mischief befall him. And the sons of Israel came to buy corn. Among those that came for the famine was, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and he it was that sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed of them, and said unto them, ye are spies, to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. And they said unto him, nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come. We are all one man's sons, we are true men, thy servants are no spies. And he said unto them, nay, but to see the nakedness of the land are ye come. And they said, thy servants are 12 brethren, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest is this day with our father, and one is not. Now, I'll tell you, I have a question sometimes, and I ask, I haven't really gotten an answer from the Lord, but, you know, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie. So there, we know Joseph was not lying because God says, thou shalt not lie. So, and we know he was speaking by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, or why God would not have put it in the Bible, or God would have let it be known that he was outside of God's will. So there must be an exception to the rule of thou shalt not commit adultery, in the sense that he was saying certain things just to test them to see where they were. Okay, I don't have an answer for that, but it's in the Bible. And Joseph said unto them, this it is that you spake, that I spake unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, ye shall not go forth hence, except your youngest brother come hither. Send one of you, and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your words may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. or less or else. By the life of Pharaoh, surely ye are spies. And he put them all together in ward 3 days. So he's testing them. You know, he's making sure they're taken care of. He didn't put them with the brute beast in the, you know, the worst criminals in the jail. He took care of them. He probably told his guys to watch out for them, but they were all in there together so they might get a sense. You know, remember, they had sold him into slavery. All 10 of them, they had sold him into slavery. So Joseph was very merciful to them. He just put them in a ward. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of the prison, your prison. Go ye, carry corn for the famine of your houses. Now, brothers and sisters, in a book called Patriarchs and Prophets, it brings out the fact that Simeon, of all the brothers, was the meanest toward Joseph. He was the main one that was instigating and wanting to kill him and just was harder on him than even the other brothers. And so it was Simeon, for that reason, that was chosen to stay back while the other brothers went home. But bring your youngest brother unto me, so shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. And Reuben answered them, saying, Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And he would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. So all this time, Joseph is speaking blah, 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 in perfect Egyptian, and they're getting it through an interpreter who speaks Hebrew, and so they're not realizing that Joseph can hear them, and they're saying, see, this is what happened to us, because we messed up and we sold our brother into slavery. Now God is punishing us. Joseph heard all of that, and he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again. You see, when you have Christ in your heart, you don't have bitter resentment. Joseph wanted to know, were these men the same? Were they converted? He wanted to know if they were like this with him, they would be like this with his little brother. So he wanted to know if they were converted or did they have the same spirit. So I believe through that experience, God allowed him to pretend that he thought they were spies, so he could test their sincerity and see where they are. And of course, they're saying the reason why this is happening to us is because of what we did to our brother Joseph. Keep in mind, they sold him as a slave into Egypt. So now they realize we're in Egypt, and now bad is coming to us from Egypt. This is God paying us back. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into his sack. And that's not supposed to happen. And to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. Now, so Joseph did something interesting. He filled their money with sacks, gave them a little extra to eat on the way, but he also put the money in the sack, which was the money that they paid for the corn. And they laded their asses with the corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender, in the end, he espied his money. For behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their hearts failed them. They didn't know what to think, see? And they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? They came unto Jacob their father, unto the land of Canaan, and told him all that befell them, saying, the man who is the Lord of the land spake roughly to us and took us for spies of the country. And we said unto him, we are true men. We are no spies. We be 12 brethren, sons of our father. One is not, and the youngest is this day with our father in the land of Canaan. The man, the Lord of the country, said unto us, hereby shall I know that ye are true men. Leave one of your brethren here with me and take food for the famine of your households and be gone. And bring your youngest brother unto me, then shall I know that ye are no spies, but that ye are true men. So will I deliver you, your brother, and ye shall traffic in the land. Not sure why he put the money in the sack. Maybe it was just to test to see if they were honest. And it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, that behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack, When both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. And Jacob their father said unto them, Me have you bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And you will take away Benjamin also, or you will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben said unto his father, saying, Slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. Jacob was not into trying to slay his grandsons. I mean, what does that sound like? That was not a good option. So Jacob just kind of blew that one off. And he said, My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way in the which ye go, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. Brothers and sisters, you know, you can have so much sorrow and so much depression, it can actually kill you. Jacob understood that. The Bible is trying to tell us that. That's why God gives us hope, brothers and sisters, because you can have no hope, and if you have no hope, you will die, and you didn't even have to die because God was there to deliver you. God had a million ways to deliver you, and you're going to depress yourself to death. You see, that's what the devil wants. He wants us to give up all hope, and that's not what the Bible is all about. Okay, we're moving to Genesis 43, and the famine was sore in the land. See, Joseph was privileged to interpret that dream for Pharaoh, so he knew everything. He knew how many years. He knew. He saw that God had already answered the prayer and that it was 7 years of plenty, and, of course, at this point, it was the 7 years of famine. So here we go, and it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt not send our brother with us, we will go down. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether he had a brother? Why did you open up your big mouth and say you had a little brother? I mean, can you all just see that family dynamic going on? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? You see, Joseph is definitely going to ask about his father because that's his father. He needed to know. He didn't know what had befallen. He didn't know how far he had traveled when he was a slave in a chain gang going down there many, many, many years ago. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die. Both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. Now, that was more reasonable. He didn't say, kill my son, because, you know, if Jacob wasn't trying to let anybody else die, that wasn't a good response. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a little balm, a little honey, spices, and myrrh, nuts, and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure, it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man, and God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Now, keep in mind, there is 10 of them there because Joseph is prime minister and Simeon is in jail, okay, waiting for them to come back. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with him, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. So here these brothers are, they're scared, don't know what's going to happen, they're praying. They had a change of heart, brothers and sisters, and that's what God wants. You know, you could have started your life out all selfish and evil and mean and conniving and lying and fornicating and doing whatever you did, but that never brought you happiness. God wants you to humble yourself, and when you humble yourself and pray and seek his face and turn from the wicked ways, the Bible says, it says, I will hear from heaven and restore, okay? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and will heal their land, the Bible says. So the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house, and they said they didn't know what that meant. Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house and said, Oh, sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hands. And other money have we brought down in our hands to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father have given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money, and you brought, and he brought Simeon out unto them. And the man brought the men unto Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and they gave them asses, and he gave their asses provender. And they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that he should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present, which was in their hand, into the house and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked of them their welfare and said, Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive? And they answered, Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive. And they bowed their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. Now you have to understand, brothers and sisters, that was his little baby brother. So when he left, he was probably a little teenager, and his brother was probably 5 or 6 years old. You know, he's the one looking out after him. And those were memories that he had. And now Benjamin is a grown man. Joseph is 30, so Benjamin is probably 20, whatever. I don't know how much younger he was. But the point is that you've got to put yourselves in the moment. And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. He's like, I want to hug him. I've got to get out of here. And he sought where to weep. He entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face, went out, and refrained himself and said, Set on bread. And they set on for him by himself, and for them by themselves, and for the Egyptians, which did eat with him, for them by themselves, because Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that was an abomination unto the Egyptians. So you have to understand, you got a table with Joseph's brothers, table with other Egyptians, and Joseph, being the prime minister, ate by himself. And they sat before him the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. In other words, their places were set. Reuben, Levi, you know, just whatever the in order, exactly how they were born. And they were like, whoa. And he took and set messes unto them. That I would say that means food. Unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. You see, they wanted to know, Joseph wanted to know, if they were going to treat Benjamin differently because he got more food. Because that's what happened with him as a child. He needed to know if they were still like that. They weren't. They had been converted. And he commanded the steward of the house, saying, fill the men's sacks with food as much as they can carry, and put away every man's money in his sack's mouth. And put my cup, the silver cup, in the sack's mouth of the youngest, and his corn money. And he did according to the word that Joseph had spoken. As soon as the morning was light, the men were sent away, they and their asses. And when they were gone out of the city, and not yet afar off, Joseph said unto his stewards, up, follow after the men. And when thou dost overtake them, say unto them, wherefore have you rewarded good for evil? Is not this it in which my Lord drinketh, and where indeed he divineth? Let me do something here real quick. Ye have done evil in so doing. And he overtook them and spake unto them these same words. And they said unto him, wherefore does my Lord, saith my Lord these words? God forbid that thy servants should do according to this thing. Behold, the money which we found in our sacks' mouths we brought again unto thee out of the land of Canaan. Remember, when you gave us our money back, we brought it back to you. Why would we do something like that? How then should we steal out of thy Lord's house silver or gold? With whomsoever thy servant it be found, both let him die, and we also will be thy Lord's bondmen. And he said, now this is Joseph's servant saying, now also let it be according to thy word. He with whom it is found shall be my servant, and ye shall be blameless. Then they speedily took down every man his sack to the ground, and opened every man his sack. And he searched and began at the eldest and left at the youngest, and the cup was found in Benjamin's sack. Then they rent their clothes and laded every man his ass and returned to the city. And Judah and his brethren came to Joseph's house, for he was yet there, and they fell before him to the ground. And Joseph said unto them, what deed is this that ye have done? What ye not that such a man as I can certainly divine? Now, he's pretending, of course, to be Egyptian and to get into all that kind of stuff, but he is a servant of the living God. He is a prophet, brothers and sisters. He is doing this under the Holy Spirit's inspiration to test his brother's sincerity, that he might know that they have changed. And Judah said, what shall we say unto my Lord? What shall we speak? Or how shall we clear ourselves? God hath found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are my Lord's servants, both we and he also with whom the cup is found. And he said, so basically, listen carefully, they did not try to pretend that they didn't take the cup. They just said, you found out our iniquity. Because they knew that that argument was sounding stupid, okay? But they knew that really they hadn't done it. They didn't know how it got there. But they just were just concerned about Benjamin going back home. Then Judah came near unto him and said, no, it says, and he said, God forbid that I should do so. This is Joseph talking. But the man in whose hand the cup is found, he shall be my servant. As for you, get ye up in peace unto your father. Then Judah came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, now isn't this a quick change? These brothers hated Joseph, spoke evil to him all the time. When they saw him alone, stripped his coat, threw him in a pit, were going to kill him. Reuben said, no, don't kill him. Just don't kill him. And then Reuben came back. He was planning on setting him free. But the brothers, while Reuben was gone, sold him into slavery. This same Joseph is now, he's got their lives in his hand. But see, he's a godly man. He's not trying to render evil for evil. Then Joseph came near unto him and said, O my Lord, let thy servant, I pray thee, speak a word in my Lord's ear, and let not thine anger burn against thy servant, for thou art even as Pharaoh. My Lord asked his servant, saying, have ye a father or a brother? And we said unto my Lord, we have a father, an old man, and a child of his age, a little one, and his brother is dead, and he alone is left of his mother. His father loveth him. And thou sayest unto thy servant, bring him down unto me, that I may set mine eyes upon him. And he said unto my lord, the lad cannot leave his father, for if he should leave his father would die. So this is Judah coming and saying, Lord, look, can I just say something in your ear? He said, please, please, don't do it this way, because if this young man doesn't come home, his father's going to die. And thou sayest unto thy servant, except your youngest brother come down unto you, ye shall see my face no more. And it came to pass, when we came up unto thy servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And my father said, go again and buy us a little food. And we said, we cannot go down, for if our younger brother be not with us, then we will go down, for we may not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And thy servant, my father, said unto us, ye know that my wife bare me two sons. Now Joseph is listening to all this. And the one went out from me and said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I saw him not since. And if you take this also from me, and mischief befall him, ye shall bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the ground. You see, brothers and sisters, think about these brothers. Now they had to go through a lot of trauma and guilt, but they couldn't bring themselves to tell the truth to their father, but they figured Joseph was dead anyway, so they didn't see a need to do so, but they really were sorry for what they had done. Now, therefore, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the lad be not with us, seeing that his life is bound up with the lad's life, it shall come to pass when he seeth that the lad is not with us, that he will die, and thy servant shall bring down the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, with sorrow to the grave. But thy servant became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I bring him not unto thee, then I shall bear the blame to my father forever. Now, therefore, I pray thee, let thy servant abide instead of the lad a bondman to my lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me, lest peradventure I see the evil that shall come on my father? So Judah was saying, listen, let me stay, let him go. It will kill my father if it be not that way. Then Joseph, as we're in chapter 45, could not refrain himself before all them that stood by. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. Now, he said that in Egyptian. Whatever he said, blah, 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 blah. They didn't know what was going on. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud. So they heard him say in Egyptian, brother, and all these men have to go. And all of a sudden he just starts weeping. They don't know what in the world is going on. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? His brethren could not answer him, but they were troubled at his presence. They were, can you imagine? See, brothers and sisters, we think we need to read novels and watch all this crazy TV. There is nothing that could compare to the storylines of the Bible, my friends, and it's real. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother. So all this time, he's speaking in Egyptian. And they remember the things that they said. They remember all the bad things that they did to him and how they talked to him and how they sold him into slavery. They thought it was over for them. He said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves for ye that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. Brothers and sisters, when your life is in God's hand, God will allow even sometimes bad things to happen, but he's got a glorious result at the end. Now, for Joseph, it included both prosperity in Potiphar's house and then some jail time. But then, I promise you, Joseph would say, it was worth it all. See that God used him to save the then known world. Because if he hadn't given that interpretation, Egypt was the greatest civilization, and that's where it saved the world, because people from all around could come and buy by corn, you know, to save their lives. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me thither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not with you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste ye, and go up to my father, and say unto him, Thus saith my son Joseph, God hath made me lord over all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, and thy children's children, and thy flock, and thy herds, and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see. You see, they had money, but Joseph knew that 5 years more, they wouldn't have the money to sustain. And so the bottom line, brothers and sisters, is that he had his brothers and his family, his father included, come and he would take care of them in the land of Goshen. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And ye shall tell my father all of my glory in Egypt and of all that ye have seen. And ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept on him, upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. And the fame thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph's brethren are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto my brethren, This do ye, lade your beast, and go, get you unto the land of Canaan. And take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded this, do ye, take you wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. I want to pause on this verse. This verse helps us to this thing brings me to tears a little bit. But this verse, what we just read, that is, this verse is a really nice verse, regard not your stuff, because it explains another verse in the Bible. Let me find that verse for you. Give me a second here. There's a Bible verse that a lot of people don't understand. Did you know that you could be in a situation, brothers and sisters, where God can't hear your prayer? Okay, I don't know why this is acting this way. Okay. It's found in Psalm 66:18. It says, If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you can be in a situation where God can't hear your prayer. Now, this is very important because sometimes we think we've committed the unpardonable sin. It says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. What does that mean? Does that mean that I must have never done drugs? Does that mean I must have never fornicated? Does that mean I must have never stolen? I've never lied? It doesn't mean that, brothers and sisters. Regard not your stuff. The word regard means don't place as a higher priority your stuff, because I'm going to take care of you in the land of Egypt. If you have to leave something behind that won't fit, just don't worry about it. I got more for you in Egypt. So when the Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not hear me, you can be on drugs in a crack house. If you want freedom, even though you don't know how to get it, you are caught up in sin, but you want to be free, then you're not regarding iniquity in your heart. You might be doing iniquity. This is deep. You might be performing an iniquitous act. You might be sleeping with somebody you ought not sleep with, but deep down in your heart, you want to get out of that. Now, the urges and the power and the, you know, a strength, you know, you got all these pulls against you and all this kind of stuff, but deep down in your heart, you want to be free. You are not regarding iniquity in your heart, brothers and sisters. But when you say, I don't want God, I want this sin more than I want God, God can't hear your prayers. So I wanted you all to understand what that verse means, because some people read that verse and they think there's no hope for me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear me. They don't feel like their prayers are being heard. They don't feel like their prayers are going higher than the ceiling. If you want to have God be the Lord of your life, even if you're caught up in sin, he will begin a work. If you humble yourself, and he will begin a work and bring you out, but you've got to take the waves of escape that God has given you, my brothers and sisters, because God will help you. He will guide you. He will give you that way of escape that you need, my friend. And so I just wanted to bring out Genesis chapter 45. Was it 45? Yeah, 45:20 helps us understand what the word regard means. Regard not your stuff, because there's something better. For the land, all the land of Egypt is yours. So don't hold on to sin, friends. If you're caught up in it, if you want to get out, God will help you. Now, there might be some roller coaster rides and some struggles because you shouldn't have gotten yourself into all this mess. But because God was telling you not to do it. But the bottom line is he will deliver you, friends. He says, and the children of Israel, the Bible says, did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh and gave them provision for the way. To all them he gave each man changes of raiment. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses laden with the goods of Egypt, 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father by the way. So he knew that what he sent was going to impress his father and let him know that his brothers weren't lying. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Meaning that I know how you guys can argue with each other, and I know that, you know, I just gave Benjamin some extra stuff. Don't be arguing, by the way. And they went out from Egypt and came unto the land of Canaan, unto Jacob their father, and told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived, and Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go see him before he dies. Now, brothers and sisters, it may not mention in the Bible, but obviously these brothers had to tell him the truth. Daddy, he didn't get. We got upset because of the coat of many colors, and we sold him into Egypt. They had to tell him the truth. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto God, the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of your father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. And Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and their wives in the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. And he took their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan and came into Egypt, Jacob and all his seed with him, his sons and his sons' sons with him, and daughters and his sons' daughters, and all the seed brought he with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the children of Israel which came into Egypt, Jacob and his sons, Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and his sons, and the sons of Reuben, Hanok and Phallu and Hezron and Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel and Jamin and Ohad and Jachin and Jehor and Shual, the son of the Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, the sons of Judah, Er and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Zerah. But Er and Onan died in the land of Canaan. And the sons of Perez, there, Hezron and Hamul. And the sons of Issachar. Remember, we had already talked about Judah's son. Remember Judah? And he was the one that wouldn't give the youngest son to Tamar, and that he went into Tamar thinking she was a prostitute. Like I said, these were grown men. And the sons of Zebulun, Sered, and Elon, and Jeleel. These be the sons of Leah, which she bare unto Jacob in Padan Aram, with his daughter Dinah. All the souls of his sons and his daughters were 33. And the sons of Gad, Ziphion, and Haggai, and Shuni, and Esbon, Ari, and Arudi, and Erali. And the sons of Asher, Jimna, and Ashua, and Ishua, and Isui, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and these bare unto Jacob even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Jacob's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. You know, it's so interesting. He calls Rachel Jacob's wife. That's who Jacob wanted. I'm just trying to go back and see. I don't see that it either of them is called the wife, at least in this chapter. Anyway, I'm not going to go all the way up. Let's keep reading. And unto Joseph in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, and Asenath, the daughter of Pati, Sarah, priest of On, bare unto him. And the sons of Benjamin were Bela, and Beker, and Ashbel, and Gera, and Naaman, Ehu, and Rosh, Mupin, and Hupin, that's interesting, and Ard. These are the sons of Rachel, which were born to Jacob. All the souls were 14. So it's highly possible that, if I'm reading this correctly, even Benjamin had children at this time. Either that or he had them later, I'm not sure. And the sons of Dan, Hushim, and the sons of Naphtali, Jezreel, and Guni, and Jezer, and Shelem. And these are the sons of Bilhah, which Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter, and she bare these unto Jacob. All the souls were 7. All the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. That's 66. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came into the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot and went to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. And Joseph said unto his brethren and unto his father's house, I will go up and show Pharaoh, and say unto him, my brethren in my father's house, which were in the land of Canaan, are come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for their trade hath been to feed cattle. And they have brought their flocks, and their herds, and all that they have. And it shall come to pass, when Pharaoh shall call you, and shall say, what is your occupation? That you shall say, thy servant's trade hath been about cattle from our youth, even from now, both we and all our, and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. I'm going to read a little bit of the next chapter. I think it covers where Jacob actually is able to bless Pharaoh. And Joseph, this is chapter 47, came and told Pharaoh and said, my father and my brethren and my flocks and their herds and all that they have are come out of the land of Canaan, and behold, they are in the land of Goshen. And he took some of his brethren, even 5 men, and presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto his brethren, what is your occupation? See, Pharaoh's trying to promote them. He's trying to give them jobs and stuff. And they said unto Pharaoh, thy servants are shepherds, both we and also our fathers. And they said moreover unto Pharaoh, for to sojourn in the land are we come, for thy servants have no pasture for their flock. For the famine is sore in the land of Canaan. Now therefore, we pray thee, let thy servants dwell in the land of Goshen. And Pharaoh spake unto Joseph, saying, thy father and thy brethren are come unto thee. The land of Egypt is before thee. In the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In the land of Goshen let them dwell. And if thou knowest any men of activity among them, then make them rulers over my cattle. And Joseph brought in Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. You see, brothers and sisters, when we do the right thing, leaders of nations will want a blessing from us. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, how old art thou? And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers and the days of their pilgrimage. And Jacob blessed Pharaoh and went out from before Pharaoh. And Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, in the best of the land, in the land of Ramesses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph nourished his father and his brethren and all the father's household with bread according to their families. And there was no bread in all the land of Egypt, for the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt and all the land of Canaan fainted by reason of the famine. And Joseph gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they brought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house. And when the money failed in the land of Egypt, and when money failed in the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came unto Joseph and said, give us bread, for why should we die in thy presence? For the money faileth. And Joseph said, give your cattle, and I will give you for your cattle, if money fail. And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and Joseph gave them bread in exchange for horses, and for flocks, and for the cattle and the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread for all the cattle for that year. Then that year was ended. When that year was ended, they came unto him the second year and said unto him, we will not hide it from my lord, how that our money is spent. My lord also hath our herds of cattle. There is not aught left in the sight of my lord but our bodies and our lands. Wherefore shall we die before thine eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be servants unto Pharaoh, and give us seed that we may live and not die, that the land be not desolate. And Joseph bought all the land of Egypt for Pharaoh, for the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine prevailed over them. So the land became Pharaoh's. And as for the people, he removed them to cities from one end of the border of Egypt even to the other end. Only the land of the priests bought he not, for the priests had a portion assigned them of Pharaoh, and did eat their portion which Pharaoh gave them, wherefore they sold not their land. Then Joseph said unto the people, behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Lo, here is seed for you, and ye shall sow the land. And it shall come to pass in the increase that ye shall give the fifth part unto Pharaoh, and four parts shall be your own, for seed of the field, and for your food, and for them of your households, and for your little ones. So, brothers and sisters, you know, they didn't have money to buy. They had to give up horses. They had to give up land. But Joseph didn't make them destitute. He basically gave them a tax, basically, and that's what it meant that Pharaoh owned the land. A fifth of what they gave, 20%, they had to give to Pharaoh's house of what they raised, so on and so forth. And Joseph made it a law over the land of Egypt unto this day that Pharaoh should have a fifth part, except the land of the priests only, which became not Pharaoh's. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and had possessions therein, and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, if now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand over my thigh and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. But I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, swear unto me, and he swear unto him, and Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Chapter 48, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, thy father is sick. And he took him with his sons Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee. And Israel strengthened himself and sat upon the bed. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make be a multitude of people and will give this land unto thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. And now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine, as Reuben and Simeon. They shall be mine. And thy issue which thou begettest after them shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. And as for me, I think he was just basically saying that Joseph's sons would even be included in the inheritance and the blessings that God had for the people of God. And as for me, when I came from Padan, Rachel died by me in the land of Canaan, in the way, when yet there was but a little way to come unto Ephraim. And I buried her there in the way of Ephraim, the same as Bethlehem. And Israel beheld Joseph's sons and said, who are these? And Joseph said unto my father, these are my sons, whom God hath given me in this place. And he said, bring them, I pray thee, unto me, and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim for age, so that he could not see. And he brought them near unto him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God hath showed me also thy seed. And Joseph brought them out from between his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand toward Israel's left hand, and Manasseh in his left hand toward Israel's right hand, and brought them near unto him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh. In other words, he did this. You can't see what I'm doing. Joseph knew that the firstborn should be on the right hand, so that's how he positioned him when he brought him to his father. But his father crossed his arms. The Holy Spirit told him what to say and what to do. And Israel stretched out his hand and laid it upon Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand upon Manasseh's head, guiding his hands wittingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the land. And let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand upon the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's head. And Joseph said unto my father, not so, my lord, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And the father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel be blessed, shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. We're going to stop there, my brothers and sisters. God is really good. This has been a wonderful story. It's a story that shows that God is in control and that God is interested in the intricacies of your life. That's important for you to understand. God is interested in the intricacies of your life. Your life is not just this period of time and you're just floating, flittering around. God has a special plan for your life, and you can be in that plan when you surrender yourself to him and you want him and his character to be the rule of your life, my friends. I know it's already about the top of the hour. We are going to have prayer and then open the phone lines in case there is some, somebody has a comment or question. Father in heaven, bless us as we've studied this wonderful story. We pray that you bless us now, that we will have a clear understanding of your providential workings, and that you do not leave us behind, that you have special care, and that you have intricate details. With intricate details, you plan our lives. We ask that even in our trials, we might understand that you have a plan. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Phone lines are open, my brothers and sisters. As we start real quickly, we have South Carolina, and Virginia on Facebook. And on the call, we have Ohio, we have Pennsylvania, we have Maryland, we have Delaware, and Delaware again. We have New Jersey. We have Iowa and Georgia. Anyone want to share anything? Press star 6, and we will take your call. All right, there is no one. We'll go ahead and ask my wife, Undreamed Of, to take us to the throne of grace to close us out.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you have given us this opportunity to be able to come together and to hear this lesson. We pray that your spirit will continue to teach us the things we need to know as we continue to grow in grace and in wisdom and as we draw close to you. Bless every heart in a special way, Lord, on this day as we go about doing service unto you and unto man. And we pray that your spirit will continue to lead, to guide, instruct, and direct us, Lord. Help us to be faithful to you. And we look forward to the time when we could be away from this world and be in the glory of glories with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now undreamed of. God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord is our closing song.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord.